end of this meeting, Sri Prapancha, Sri Ashwatthamitra, Sri Sundara Ramaswamy, Sri Jnana Kootam, Sri Vaitheeswaran, Sri Venkata Thalapathi. Friends, I am the unfortunate fellow who must speak in English, but for Ashwatthamitran, I will take that risk. I consider myself fortunate to be here this day. I am here to share the joy of honoring a great writer, Sri Ashwatthamitran. I am a beneficiary on two counts, because not only am I able to pay my respects to Sri Ashwatthamitran in person, but also I am honored by your invitation to share this moment, blessed by so many other eminent writers. I also feel at home, because some of my stories have been translated into Tamil. And Sri Sundara Ramaswamy has been very kind to ask me to write a column in his periodical, Kalachooda. I write it in Malayalam, and Sri Sukumaran of Surya TV translates it into Tamil. So in a way, you can call me some kind of a second-hand Tamil writer. For me, it's a very rewarding knowledge that I am available to the Tamil reader. The reader who reads Sri Ashwatthamitran and other respected Tamil writers. It's very good to know that my writings are available in Tamil. I know there is an exploding new generation of readers in Tamil, especially in the villages. And that's a great opportunity for Tamil writing and Tamil publishing. In Kerala, writing has survived because there are libraries in the villages. It was a very fabulous kind of library movement that took place in the 50s and 60s. There are libraries in the villages and bookshops, lots of bookshops in the towns, even in the small towns. Both are institutions that support readers more than anything else. So a writer in Kerala can, if he is hardworking and readable, certainly, he can earn some bread from writing, if not all the bread. Many Malayali writers earn not just bread, but butter, jam and cake also. It's all because the readers pay for them. They are good enough to buy our books, read us and bear with us. In fact, my complaint against many Malayalam writers is that they are all too comfortable. They sit pretty. So pretty that they believe that their only responsibility to the reader is to keep feeding them fiction, poetry, etc., etc., the usual stuff. They will not take a position on life, life in capital letters, that oppressive four-letter word. The so-called life the reader is undergoing as a citizen of Kerala and India. Not a word from them. And these writers, the friends, that it's sheer ingratitude not to take the side of the reader and the people against these oppressors. For one day, we will lose them. All these readers we will lose. It was when I read Sri Ashwatthamitran's Tannir that I realized how deeply moved he is to the life of the people, the ordinary people. And that was the first book that I read of Mr. Ashok. Tannir is a people's story. It is also a woman's story, not of one woman, but of two women, sisters, Jamuna and Chaya. It is in fact a feminist story. But very often what happens is that feminists don't recognize stories that actually speak for them unless you put in feminist theory into it. And Mr. Ashwatthamitran doesn't deposit theories in his stories, as you all know who you read. Tannir was the first book I read of Mr. Ashwatthamitran. That was just 3 years ago. Before that, for many decades, I had known him only by reputation. Those were the days when translations did not exist, unlike now. When I finished reading Tannir, my first thought was, what have I missed all these years? And I also thought If an English translation can carry so much feeling and truth, how wonderful must be the original text. I wrote somewhere that I was so moved by Tanner that I sat still for a long time, going back over the story to see where Ashokamitran had tied the knots that bound me hand and foot as a reader. I was especially curious because I am a writer and wanted to get to the bottom of Ashokamitran's secret, the secret of his writing. I remember that it was M. Govindan whom I would call the powerhouse that energized modernism in Malayalam, who used to tell me about Ashokamitran in the late 60s. Govindan lived here in Chennai and his address, 77B Harris Road, was famous among Malayali writers, especially the younger generation. I remember Govindan telling me that things in Tamil literature were not what Malayali writers took them to be. Tamils had taken definitive steps into the modernist phase already, and a lot of innovative writing was going on. But that was a time when we in Malayalam were telling ourselves that we were the founding fathers of modernity. What Govindan was trying to say was that modernity was happening in many places simultaneously and we did not have a monopoly over it. And he talked about Ashokamitran and other Tamil writers who were changing things in Tamil. Only, as I said, I wish it had taken me all these years to get to Ashokamitran. But in a different sense, I am happy I read it late, because having been engaged with the writer's profession all these years, I thought when I read Tanner and his other works in translation for the first time, I thought I could almost see him writing the lines of those stories. I could see how he breathed and felt and thought like each one of his characters, and how his craft danced with them and with them. I feel it's one of the strangest things about Ashokamitran's writing that there appears to be no apparent craft. But what he does really, this is only my hunch as another writer, I think he has smoothly merged craft with feeling. It is not easy to merge the conscious mechanics of craft with the flow of feeling embedded in the narrative. But it produces, once it is done as he does it, it produces tremendous spontaneity, energy, and a sense of truth that is larger than life. What I have seen him creating again and again in his stories is an extraordinary virtual reality of the world. This absence of apparent craft gives Ashokamitran's narrative a seamless quality. It's as if it's been built without any separation. It's like gliding on air. You never find out what moved you from point A to point Z. It is so effortlessly done. Another quality that lights up Ashokamitran's fiction is the illuminating compassion underlying his narrative. If there is one Malayalam writer with whom I would like to compare Ashokamitran in this matter, and in several other matters too, it is Bashir, Vaikom Mohammed Bashir. What both of them are able to do is to confront evil without creating villains, and above all, without making your own language violent. It is not easy to give up the temptation to create villains and make the reader hate them. It is not easy to hold yourself back from the language of emotional violence when you are going hammer and tong into an indictment of evil. But both of them did it with the ease of a leaf flying in the wind. I would like to specifically mention here a character and a moment from Tanner, Jamuna, whom I would call the heroine of Tanner. Jamuna is a single girl surviving in a waterless city alone and under great pressure. The nameless fatigue of the soul which overtakes Yamuna and drives her to the edge of suicide
is not the result of any villainy that can be pointed at. There's no special villain.
It's a kind of formless evil, composed of many things eating into her being. Ashokamitran handles the moment of Yamuna's near suicide with no drama and no tom-toming of loaded words. After the fatal moment has passed, he moves Yamuna into one of the most heart-melting moments in my reading of fiction. It is done with almost just a couple of dozen words. It is not the brilliance of the understatement alone, it is a marvelous unfolding of great compassion and great sadness together, like two flowers opening together. The scene is built between Yamuna and her kindly neighbor, Teacher Amma. So a few sentences I will read here. Start like this. "Can't you talk to me at least for a minute before you go?" Yamuna asked. That is, she's asking Teacher Amma, the neighbor. "What has got into you today, my pet?" Teacher Amma took Yamuna, this is after Yamuna has attempted suicide, and her landlady has caught her at that. "What has got into you today, my pet?" Teacher Amma took Yamuna by the chin and lifted up her face. After a few, they are walking on the street. Yamuna walked along with Teacher Amma. They are going to get water. On the way, this is how it concludes. Yamuna said, "Akka." "What is it, Yamuna?" Teacher Amma asked. Yamuna said again, "Akka." Instantly, Teacher Amma came to a standstill. She too repeated herself, "What is it, Yamuna?" Yamuna said, "Akka." Unable to say anything more, she leaned against Teacher Amma and began to weep, right there in the middle of the street. So, removed from the totality of the story and read badly, I don't know if my reading of this passage has led anywhere at all, but I am glad I read it. It has a soul-cleansing effect. I feel it's a radical statement on love and sorrow. Only compassion can transform the dark night of the soul into a moment of tender salvation. Yamuna and Teacher Amma, in my mind, are beatified as they stand leaning on each other in the middle of a Chennai street. I shall end these words with a short recollection of my first meeting with Ashokamitran. It was nearly 4 years back at an international writers meet in Rajasthan. Ashokamitran looked so fragile and was so oppressed by the endless steps, the ups and downs and turns and curves of the Rajasthani palace we were housed in. It was in a place called Nimrana. And I thought, frankly, since I was meeting for the first time, forgive me, that he would hardly last the conference. He was so weak and it was so cold, he was so tired, but he would not complain, but he would complain only very mildly. I was quite worried and helped him with four things. Let me help out this harmless and helpless Tamil writer. When came the day of his group, of his talk to the group? That was the day of my illumination. From this helpless, fragile human being came such a dazzling performance of wit, wisdom, intellect and insight that I sat open-mouthed listening to it. So I learned the lesson, never take even the most fragile Tamil writer for granted. His talk was delivered in a deceptively low key, as if he was talking to himself, making you relax, but suddenly it hit you in the solar plexus and made you jump. Later I realized it's exactly the same thing he does in his writing. He invites you into the wonderful parlor of his words, makes you float along happily, and gives you the big shock when you least expect it. His fragility is very deceptive. I am thrilled that it has been my privilege to represent Malayalam, honoring this great writer and what in honoring this great writer and wonderful human being. They say you can wish a man 1,000 moons. That's not enough. I fondly wish him many, many more moons, many, many more
sunrise and many, many more beautiful sunsets. Many more new books, health, happiness and peace. I thank the organizers of this meet, especially Badri Seshadri of Kiraku Padipagam, Kavita of the Week, and Sukumaran of Surya TV for the opportunity to share this great moment. Thank you. Good night.